the people that prayer has been requested for, Lord, we pray that you'll touch them and heal them, Lord, and just provide their needs. And Lord, we just pray that you'll give peace to those that have lost loved ones. And Lord, we just pray that you'll be at the pastor now as he brings your word. Just be at this church, Lord. Help it grow and help the Lord to be the witness that needs to be within this community. In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen. Well, take your Bibles and turn to Galatians chapter 5 and 6. And we're looking at he that is spiritual. And we're studying this. We're layer upon layer, word upon word, precept upon precept. Now, I grew up in Christian school. I grew up in a Christian home. Wasn't saved till I was 16, but I've heard all the catchphrases and all the phrases, you know, people on fire for God and man of God and all this stuff. And I've heard the phrase spiritual. And I've heard people describe other people as spiritual. And we've established early in this series of messages that to claim that you are spiritual, you're going to have to confirm in your heart and with God that you're filled with the Spirit. So you say, preacher, you believe the Bible says that when you are not filled with the Spirit, we are not spiritual. Exactly. If the Spirit is not in control, we are not spiritual. We are carnal. That's a real easy thing to understand. But what we need to understand is, you say, preacher, how do I know that I'm spiritual? Well, you ought to know it, but there ought to be some things that come spiritually, but naturally. There should be things that exude in your life. There should be some things that happen as a byproduct of being filled with the Spirit. Now, you look in verse 16 of chapter 5 in Galatians, it says this: "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." A lot of people walk around defeated. A lot of people walk around feeling like I'm a no-count Christian because I am falling constantly into sin. I'm constantly living a lustful life. And the Bible says, walk in the Spirit. Now, how do you walk in the Spirit? You're filled with the Spirit, and you're going throughout your life filled with the Spirit. "And ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Now, preacher, is that saying I won't be tempted? No, that doesn't mean you won't be tempted, because the Bible says every man when is tempted when he is drawn away of lust. But you understand that there is an escape for the temptation. God has made an escape for the temptation, and he is the escape. His word is the escape. Being filled with the Spirit is the escape. And so, being filled with the Spirit is the priority here. It precedes this fruit. There are things that people do because they're filled with the Spirit. There are things that people don't do because they're filled with the Spirit. There are things that people do because they're carnal. There are things that people do because they're lost. See? And so we need to understand that. Being filled with the Spirit is a priority in the life of a Christian. And it's not something you put on, you're fake. It's emptying yourself of you and letting God take control. And we read that and we looked at that. We're looking at the thought, he that is spiritual. And a man is born a sinner, not a saint. "In sin did my mother conceive me," Psalm 51 verse 5. And so we ought to be exhibiting the fruit of goodness in our lives. We should be doing that. We looked at gentleness last week, and they're closely related. Let's first of all lay a foundation, and let's get a definition of goodness. This sixth virtue, this sixth fruit is goodness. And what does it mean? Webster, in his dictionary, has 17 categories of the meanings of the word. I think we need to melt it down so we can get something more concrete. The Greek lexicon of the New Testament likewise has has words, numerous words that describe the word good, genuine, honorable, desirable, pleasant, dependable, honest. And goodness refers, one says, to that which is good in character and is beneficial to others. The dictionary tells us that it's excellence, merit, worth. There's synonyms to goodness is virtue, kindness, benevolence. Goodness is love in action, someone said. Good expressing itself in deeds with tenderness and compassion. Let me give you a definition of goodness. Let me give you a good definition. It's a definite concern for the welfare of others.
Amen.
It's a definite concern for the welfare of others. Proverbs 20:20 says that thou mayest walk in the way of good men and keep the paths of righteousness. Gentleness or goodness are similar. Gentleness is internal. Goodness is an outward expression of helping others. Now, I want to look at the demonstration tonight, and I want to get to a portion of Scripture and nail this thing down. If I'm filled with the Spirit, and this fruit is in my life, this thing's coming, this goodness is being seen. Goodness is exhibited, first of all, by God, and that's our example. That's where we measure. Psalm 100, verse 5, for the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, His truth endureth to all generations. Goodness. Exodus 33, in verse 18 and verse 19, Moses asked the Lord to see His glory, and Moses needed to recognize that God's goodness and His glory is rooted in His grace and compassion. Goodness is revealed in providing for man's physical needs. God does that. Psalm 68 and verse 10. O God, Thou hast prepared of Thy goodness for the poor. Psalm 31 and verse 19. Oh, how great is Thy goodness, which Thou hast laid up for them that fear Thee. And so God provides, His goodness is seen. He provides our spiritual, our physical needs, but also spiritual needs. Psalm 107, verse 9, for He satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry with goodness. And when the apostles were in Jerusalem and they were talking about the growing church in Antioch, they sent Barnabas to encourage those people spiritually. Why him? Well, you look in Acts chapter 11, verse 24, for he was a good man, full of the Holy Ghost and of faith. So they sent a man that was full of the Holy Ghost to encourage people. Why? Because one of the fruits of the Spirit is goodness. They needed to be encouraged in the goodness, and he needed to see their needs. He wanted to be helping them with their needs, helping with the needs of the church. And we see that. We see that God demonstrated needs. When the temple was built and dedicated, sacrifices and offerings, feast for the nation, we see in 1 Kings chapter 8 and verse 66, the people rejoiced in God's goodness to them when the temple was finished. Psalm 50 and verse 14, offer unto God thanksgiving. And verse 23 of the same chapter, whoso offereth praise glorifieth me. Psalm 33 and verse 5 tells us the earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. And Psalm 23, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, goodness of God, that is a given. We need to recognize that. We must acknowledge it. Do you acknowledge the goodness of God? Everybody thinks they have a corner on prayer, so they get good at prayer, so they write a book on prayer. Well, we have a prayer book right here.
Amen.
Amen.
And prayer is, I've heard one preacher say, well, prayer is not thanksgiving. And one preacher says prayer is praising. And one preacher says prayer is asking. You say, what do you do? I use them all.
Amen.
I get them all in.
Amen.
I praise God from whom all blessings flow. Amen.
Amen.
And I ask God for things for me. So that's selfish. No, it's not.
Amen.
And I ask God things for other people and for the church, for our nation. I thank God. lot to be thankful for. God is good, and He's good all the time. Now let's look at the goodness expected of man. What's expected of me? You're filled with the Holy Spirit. There's not a list, and you don't make a plan. You're filled with the Holy Spirit. You see a need. God, the Holy Spirit, says, "Hey, right?
Amen.
Hey, why don't you help? See." As people say, well, you know, bless God, all we need to do is be just telling people to that need to be saved, and that's all we need to do with people. That's all we need to do. No, it isn't. Amen. By the way, Jesus fed the 5,000 before He spoke to them.
Right. Amen.
People say, well, you know, you shouldn't promote or give people anything. That's hogwash.
Amen. Exactly, brother. Amen.
This Ukrainian lady that came on Sunday, I knocked on her door. And you know what I told her? I didn't tell her I was from Faith Independent Baptist Church. I didn't tell her about Jesus. She said, what did you tell her? I said, I'm here and I'm a Christian. Is there anything I can pray with you about? And when I said that, Miss Anita, everything went like, it just opened up. Everything opened up. See, we're not trying to get them to come to church. The main thing we need to do in order to be able to introduce them to Jesus is we've got to connect. And I don't know many people, you open the door and they won't say, "Would you pray for me?" Huh? I mean, they got a prayer list. Woman comes to the door, you knock on it, and said, "You have any prayer requests?" "Yes, pray for my sorry husband back there laying on the couch watching TV," some stuff like that. But no, seriously, what are we doing? What are we doing? Are we trying to go out there and find people and make them what we think they ought to be and dress them the way we ought to dress and make them? That's not what we're doing. We're connecting to people so we can connect them to Jesus. Now, notice Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 16. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 16. What does it say? "But to do good and communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased." Communicate. That means to fellowship and participate with. You see, when I do good, when I'm coming and I see somebody needs some help, and I come in to help them, I am entering into that burden with them. And if it pleases God, don't you think He has a plan to work in their hearts and give you opportunity to introduce them to Christ? Sure. Notice, the New Testament talks about sacrifices we can bring to God. There are three: praising God, doing good, and sharing with others. Goodness is saying and seeking with a phrase like this: "How can I help you? How can I help you?" A lot of people need help. There's people with all the money in the world and all the house in the world and all the cars in the world that are desperately in need of help. Notice with me Acts chapter 9. This is one of my favorite portions of Scripture to look at and to find example. Acts chapter 9, Look at verse 36. It says, now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was what? Full of good works and alms deeds, which she did. And it came to pass in those days that she was sick and died, whom when they had they laid her in an upper chamber. For as much as Lydia was nigh to Joppa, the disciple, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent unto him two men, desiring him that he would not delay to come to them. Then Peter rose and went with them. When he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber, and all the widows stood by him, weeping and showing the coats and garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. Now notice, here she's died, and they have all the stuff, the coats that she had made for them. Now sewing a garment in this day and age for someone that is not a professional, it takes them a long time. But back in that age, I imagine, Danny, it took a long time. I imagine it took a little bit, Miss Adina, to sew a coat. Now, I don't know, but she made these coats for them. Doesn't say she charged them. They needed a coat, and Dorcas got them a coat. Are you with me? Now, this next part's good. But Peter put them all forth, said, y'all go out for a minute. And kneeled down and prayed, and turning him to the body, said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. Now, I don't know. It says he kneeled down and he prayed. Now, I don't know what he prayed, but I venture to say this. Peter probably said, look, Lord, I got to meet this woman. Would you bring her back to life? Amen. Our Lord, you see what this woman has done. She's died and she comes back. Maybe she can impress upon these women to do likewise to others and it'll catch on. I don't know, but the Lord restored her, and she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up, and he gave her his hand and lifted her up, and when she had called the saints and widows, presented her alive, and it was known throughout all Joppa, and what? Many believed in the Lord. You see, folks, I think we've gotten the cart before the horse in our lives and in our church life and in our individual's life, where we've stopped doing good to others, where we pulled ourselves into a shell, we pull our car into the driveway, we hustle into our house, and we hustle to the job, and we don't even know our neighbors, we don't know our neighbors' kids, we don't know the people that clean our clothes. We don't know the waitress that waits on us at the diner. We don't conversate with people. We don't look for people that have needs. Come on. Amen. We don't look at we got our schedule, and we're not going to deviate from our schedule. And let me just tell you something. The end of the good deeds of this woman, many believed. Now you can learn the Romans road and the John road and the Corinthians road and the Jude road, but the good works road, goodness to other people, I think that's the avenue that God wants us to take. You say, preacher, what's it going to take? Well, first of all, it's going to take you getting your stinking old self out of you and letting the Holy Spirit in.
Amen.
Number one. Number two, it's going to take you to get your eyes off yourself, those three people you look at, me, myself, and I, and you're going to have to look out at other people and say, is there something I could help them with? Mm-hmm. How could I help them? You know what the third one is? Do it. Just do it. Just do it. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? I talk about this all the time, Arnold. When we all get to heaven, what day of rejoicing that will be. And when I finish, you know, at the first 1,000 years I finish with Jesus, I'm gonna talk to some people. I'm going to ask Peter, I'm going to say, what did you pray? What did you say? I mean, Peter, you know, here's Peter, the one that denied the Lord. He's a preacher, comes into town. He might have said, Lord, I want to learn something from her. This convicts me. I haven't done a lot of good things. Huh? You know, God can work on the preacher's heart too, amen?
Amen.
Now listen, where are you tonight? With your good works. With your goodness. Is your life a life of helping yourself or helping others? This convicts me to the core. So what do? Well, you get right with God, get filled with the Spirit, and start exhibiting this fruit. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for challenging us. And Lord, we pray that you would help us as we do business with you. Right there in your seats where you are, if God spoke to your heart, I'm going to ask you right there. We're not going to play a hymn of invitation, but if God spoke to your heart about goodness, there's probably some people you've skipped over in your busyness. I know I have. I want to challenge you. Would you ask God to fill you with the Spirit? Ask the Spirit to open your eyes and use you to do good works to others. Now, Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for teaching us tonight. And may the decisions that we've made tonight go with us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we need an offering.